Since this is the first presentation in the morning, I just want to ask two quick questions just to make sure we're all awake. Number one, who works within an organization or agency that relies on external grant funding? All right. Now, keep your hands raised if you enjoy being evaluated by your funders. The truth is, being evaluated by your funders raises all sorts of anxieties. You know, what if my program doesn't measure up? What if I'm placed in the bottom quartile of a particular cohort of grantees? And it's this anxiety that we really hope to overcome by developing a more collaborative approach to evaluation. So this presentation looks at a community of practice model that is much more collaborative in building capacity of a community coalitions to evaluate their process of policy and environmental change. Just like to verify, I have no personal financial relationships or commercial interests to disclose. So the Northwest Health Foundation, we're based in Portland, Oregon. We distribute about $6 million a year in grant funding through three main grant programs. And one of our strategic goals is to reverse the rising trends of obesity and overweight in our grant-making region. We do this by making grants to community-based organizations and local health departments that are advancing policy and environmental change strategies to improve opportunities for healthy eating and active living. In 2006, we had an opportunity to deepen this work by launching a new advised fund with contributions from four local health plans. And this advised fund was called the Alliance for the Promotion of Physical Activity and Nutrition, or APAN for short. We were able to fund seven community coalitions in Oregon and Southwest Washington. These grants were relatively modest. They're only $25,000 a year, in most cases for 4 years. And this shows the rough geographic distribution we had. So two of the coalitions we funded were in Multnomah County, which is our most populous county, about 700,000 people. The most rural by far was in the town of The Dalles, which is a town of about 12,000 people in the Columbia River Gorge. Now, the policy environmental change strategies that these coalitions were pursuing varied widely. On the least complex end of the scale, in The Dalles, the coalition was interested in trying to persuade the local Little League to adopt and implement a healthy snacks policy, get rid of the sugar-sweetened beverages, candy bars, et cetera, replace them with healthier options. On the most complex end of the scale, we were funding a community coalition that was looking to weave explicit health and equity criteria through every component of the Portland Plan, which is the comprehensive plan that's going to guide the city's physical, social, and economic development over the next 30 years, what we call a big, hairy, audacious goal. And so you'll see there are six coalitions listed here. One of the coalitions we funded actually had to drop out of this community of practice. They were going through a process of establishing themselves as their own 501c3, all the joys and headaches that go along with this launching a new nonprofit. So they weren't able to commit the time to this community of practice to the same degree. So I'm sure all of you know there's some real challenges with evaluating the process of policy and environmental change at the community level. Now, for one, there's no sort of gold standard. There are certainly a number of very promising emerging practices. In fact, if you look at the current issue of American Journal of Public Health, there's some great work being done in California that's coming out of Kaiser Permanente and California Convergence and the California Endowment. But there's no sort of one-size-fits-all approach. Coalitions had very little capacity to evaluate their process of policy and environmental change, both in terms of staffing and in terms of expertise. And then again, there are these concerns about meta-evaluation, about being measured up against each other, that really reared their head. So in response, we developed what's known as a community of practice. Here's the classic definition of community practice. Groups of people who share a concern, a set of problems, or a passion about a topic, and who deepen their knowledge and expertise in the area by interacting on an ongoing basis. So we designed, during the last 2 years of this APAN initiative, a community practice we called Northwest Community Changes. Our actual theory of change had a lot more boxes and arrows, but it's way too early in the morning for that. So rather than make it unnecessarily complex, we're focused on this second box here, building the coalition capacity to evaluate their process of policy and environmental change. And ultimately, we hoped that by embedding these skills and embedding the value of evaluation within the coalitions, it would strengthen their work over the long term. So we convened our grantees, and from the onset, we asked them to identify one discrete policy or environmental change strategy that they were going to use as sort of a test case for this 2-year community of practice. And that turned out to be a really important turning point, because up until that point, coalitions had a lot of anxiety. We're going to be asking them to evaluate the entirety of their work, what sort of broad social change that they were driving. And all these have value, but for a lot of the coalitions, they felt that was beyond the scope of what they had the capacity to do. So we really had them focus on one specific policy outcome and use it as a test case to go through all the components of our evaluation capacity building that you see here. We were also able to provide some supplemental funding. It wasn't a heck of a lot. It was only additional $15,000, but covered some staff time to participate in this community of practice, concrete templates and examples, and individual TA from evaluation consultant, which proved to be very valuable. So here you see the four main components of Northwest Community Changes: the strategy map, evaluation plan matrix, data collection tools, and progress bulletin. All of these were designed to be very succinct, fit on one page, maximum two pages. Wanted to make it as useful and easy to use as possible for the coalitions. And I brought a binder, which I'd be happy to share with anyone afterwards. Actually, it includes all of the instructions on how to use these tools, as well as examples from each coalition about how they completed them. This is going to be up on our website shortly as well. So the first tool that we asked them to engage in was what we call the strategy map. Now, you might think of this sort of as a theory of change or a logic model, but it was a little bit more stripped down than that. Again, it was just looking at one discrete policy and environmental change and the steps that they would need to achieve along the way to get to their ultimate goal. And the steps, we sequence it to force people to think through sort of the broad social change that they hope to achieve if they got their policy or environmental change goal before they jump to the tactics, which is step four, the how, the strategy. A lot of coalitions did want to jump immediately to the tactics, this sort of strategy map forced them to think through every stage. Once they had their strategy map defined, then we asked them to complete an evaluation plan matrix. Again, this is designed to be on one page. It was designed to be proactive and flexible tool that could be adapted, a living document adapted for a changing political climate. But to actually select milestones and then indicators that would demonstrate progress towards those milestones, and also encourage them to develop a data collection strategy, including assigning responsibility for who had to collect that data. So here, for example, in the lower right-hand corner, you see one of the data tools that one of the coalitions used, and it was around document review, which can seem to be a very dry, sort of bureaucratic process, but, pardon me, this coalition was looking at weaving the health considerations throughout the Portland Comprehensive Plan, and that is a five-year process, and so what they were able to do was to look at the recommendations their coalitions were feeding up to the Bureau of Planning, how many of them are actually landing in these draft plans. And they were able to communicate to their funders that, or to their coalition members, 59% were inserted verbatim, another 16% were partially inserted. This is something that they could communicate back to their stakeholders, keep them engaged, and through a very long policy process. Progress Bulletin, again, a very discreet communications tool, was designed to allow them to communicate back to their stakeholders, policymakers, the media, to other funders about how much progress they're making, what still needed to be done, and to make mid-course corrections. These are some of the ways that coalitions used all the tools that we were able to provide training on. In addition to all the training, we had an interest in learning. So how did coalitions actually view this community of practice model of evaluation? So we did some anonymous surveys, third-party interviews, and these are the broad themes that we learned. First, the coalitions felt that they really gained useful tools for planning and evaluating their policy and environmental change strategies. They built stronger relationships within their coalition partners. They are also able to engage new members through the community of practice, and they learn about new ways of doing policy and environmental change work. There are also some challenges that emerged. For one, the timing of this community of practice did not always align perfectly with where coalitions were in their selection process for policy change. Some of them changed their ultimate policy objectives two or three times during the four-year life of the grant. In addition, even though we were able to provide some supplemental funding, the coalition said it wasn't really enough to meaningfully participate at the level they'd like to in the community of practice. And then you see some of the classic sort of coalition management challenges that anyone engages in this field. So overall, the coalitions reported that this approach to evaluation was very valuable. The one area where we didn't see as robust a response as we were hoping is in this last area, where we're hoping to foster a lot more collaboration between coalitions, build a field, so to speak, where they would actually pick up the phone and call each other if they're experiencing similar challenges or successes. We didn't see that sort of field building to the degree we'd like. We did, however, see some very encouraging results in terms of the capacity and comfort of coalitions evaluating policy and environmental change work. So here you see pre-post tests, the red bars before Northwest Community changes, the blue bars afterwards. And all of them reported that they were able to advocate, become more effective advocates, tell their story more effectively to stakeholders, and tell their story more effectively to funders. I should mention that the $625,000 we were able to distribute to the seven coalitions, since then they've been able to secure more than $16 million in competitive grant funding from both public and private sources. And a number of them reported to us that the skills they learned through this community of practice were essential in how they developed their proposed grant proposals to other funders. So again, here we see some confidence in carrying out the specific actions, in some cases doubling the scores in terms of their self-rating pre and post, their capacity to become more effective advocates, communicate, use evaluation matrices, develop strategy maps. We also had an interest in learning to what degree coalitions would actually use these tools in the future, to what degree was evaluation embedded within sort of the skill set and the mindset of the coalitions. And here you see between the very likely and likely categories, ranging from a total of 64% in terms of those who would use the evaluation matrices in the future, all the way to 100% who would use the communications tools that we developed. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge that this was very much a team effort. I worked with three colleagues in developing and implementing this community of practice, Rhonda Zaycox, Noelle Dobson, Suzanne Briggs, who are phenomenal. And I'd just like to say that as a funder, this process has really sort of changed how we view evaluation and really emphasized the value of developing collaborative evaluation strategies. And this community of practice model is definitely something we'll use in the future. I'd be happy to take questions at the end of the session. Now I'd like to turn it over to Pamela. Thank you.